Good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Tammy, and with me is the brilliant, the you were on time today, so you actually.
Were you gonna say I was late?
Yeah, I wasn't. I was gonna say
tardy to the party, but not this time.
There it is.
Can
there
I tell you?
Is.
I beat the train. I heard the train whistle, and I was like, I gotta cross right now. I heard it warning me. It said, "Althea, get there."
It's. Did you hear? Did it say? I can't. I don't know. I'm out of them today.
You don't have a
choo choo. I don't know. So a joke about the train choo
chooing. Something like that. Well, you know, maybe we could always come back to it. The thing is, we have an hour. If you think
I'm
of the train joke in the next hour, you do let me know.
Listen, we can't all. I can't win all the time.
Yeah,
I gotta let some other people get it sometimes too.
Well, we're Tammy and Althea to
Hello.
Finish the thought, and this is the Gap Talk Radio on Fridays. At KBOO Portland, no less.
Yes, here in Portland, Oregon, in studio, live,
in
doing
studio.
The thing.
Yes.
And yes, we're super excited to have you join us today on our program, as we said, The Gap, where we bridge, mend, fill, question, comments, concerns.
Mm.
Oh, ooh.
Whoa.
All
fill
sorts
out a card.
a lot of things. Yeah, Pickett will maybe be able to do it.
I don't know.
We'll try our best for sure. usually in the first part of the program, we either have an interview or a news roundup of a little bit of national, very little, but mostly local stuff, interviews with activists and community members. Then second part two, is where we open up the phone lines to you, the listener. You can become a caller at that point where we have a community question that is, it's meant to...
Today's community question is good.
Bring dialogue.
So
yes.
Get excited for it.
Yes. Learn a lot. I learn a lot. I have a list of things that I'm learning from our community dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
So thank you for making me a little bit better.
Oh, good. Yeah. Gotta get the accent.
I forgot. I can't do the accent.
Well, you can do it.
It's beyond me now.
It's more of... It's you're a woman possessed. Very appropriate for October.
Oh.
Woo!
Oh, yeah.
Sort of got possessed by a British ghost.
Yeah, sorry. Excuse me. Yes, that's right. There's so many things that have been happening in... And it's only been 14 days. I thought we were like halfway through. Or I guess we are definitely technically halfway through. I don't know what's going on with me.
I mean, the weather kind of makes it feel like it's not
October. I got a pumpkin yesterday.
Oh, you did? Good for you. I went to a pumpkin patch and it was 80 degrees.
How much did you get your pumpkin for?
Oh, I didn't get a pumpkin at the pumpkin patch. That's a ripoff.
Is it? I've never done the pumpkin patching thing.
Yeah.
I want to try doing it next week for the first time ever.
Fun.
Yeah, so don't get a pumpkin at a pumpkin patch.
Well, you already got one, so you don't need one.
I would probably get one just because I was like, oh.
You could get one of the little ones. They do all the like funky little gourds.
Those are yes.
Those are great. All right. Sorry, we're getting off track. We're talking about pumpkin patches. There's a lot of, you jump into this. What's going on in LA?
Oh my goodness. Los Angeles.
The Angels, they call them.
Yes. It's been quite a hoot that's been happening down there. And people are the Angelinos is what they call themselves. Angelinos are not having it. And they're saying, oh yeah, well, we're going to take to City Hall and we're going to make our voice heard. And I'm pretty sure that most folks are probably aware of what's been happening in LA, but just a bit of recap. The city, the LA City Council president was caught. I thought this was an old leak tape. This tape was from last week.
Oh, I thought it was from like last when they were doing, there was a part of it that's from redistricting.
I think it's a little, and then they had a part where they're just talking. I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my gosh. After all we've been through. She was using very disparaging words to describe black folks as well as just pretty much everyone besides her. She's pretty terrible.
Everyone under the sun.
Yes, everyone.
And she might purport to represent.
I was going to say all her constituents.
And she's like, and you know another thing? And then you know who I haven't brought up, but I'd love to sort of rag on if I could.
Going
on
children
tape.
And stuff. It
yeah.
was just not. It was.
You know who's had it too good for too long? Kids.
Finally,
someone on LA City Council will stand up to the children, okay?
No one has done it before. That is truly revolutionary. And at this point, she has just so racist, so anti-black, just terrible person. I'm not going to say that these are the type of people that seek power and then go to city council in order to find it there. I'm not saying that.
I mean, it's good that you didn't say that.
I didn't say that. So she has quit since then, and now there are two more staffer councilmen, I think, are they both councilmen? Yes.
Yeah.
And they are, they were also in on the conversation, and they are also being asked to step down. That's Gil Cedillo and Kevin De Leon.
Yeah.
And they're just refusing to step down, to resign, even though people are coming in the masses to protest and to ask for them to resign.
Yeah.
And LA City Council meetings have been canceled because they refuse to resign. So.
The LA Times, which broke the story, put out this TikTok of like a supercut of all of the F-bombs dropped at the meetings that they did have, which was an amusing way to like show the extent of how upset people are.
The
you know?
Signs, woof. Those signs were visceral. But hey, you know what? They are mirroring exactly what folks heard on those tapes. So, when was Watergate during October or no?
It was kind of a long, drawn out thing. Are you talking about the actual break in or
not the Watergate? The tapes that where he was also using super disparaging language around black people as well. Was it Nixon? Or was it Reagan?
Nixon, I think.
Nixon's ghost, I guess.
Yeah.
Big mistake.
Don't invoke their names here.
I'm sorry. I can't say it.
They've done enough. One of them. I know what you're talking about, though. I think it was like Nixon's right-hand guys.
Oh, Agnew.
Oh.
I hate that guy. Oh,
do you?
That guy, he hates women. Anyways, we'll keep going.
Well, let's save that song for another time, maybe. But from LA to Oregon.
So Biden was just there.
Yeah. The president's in town.
In order to also tell folks they need to step down and to kind of give, you know, a little support to the governor. They have a gubernatorial governor's race happening as well. Karen Bass? I forgot the name. But she's running, and he pretty much went there to kind of show support. And now Biden has come in over our way. He's coming uptown, chugging along on that train. There it is. That train is making full circle.
Okay.
Coming to town today. Do you have his itinerary, Althea?
I don't have his itinerary. I do happen to know that everybody is supposed to be aware that the roads are going to be bad because he's in and around. I mean, he's doing, he's got a thing for Tina Kotek. He's got another thing with like the Oregon Democrats. I know he'll be in and around Portland today. I was going to, if there weren't things that I needed to attend to before the show, I was going to try to pull the Side Talk NYC clip of the guy going, Joe Byron. What would you do if you saw Joe Byron right now?
Okay.
Which is a real throwback.
What was that, like 9 months ago?
Yeah, it feels like ages.
Yeah.
Biden's in town. Are you so excited? Are you going to go see him?
No, but I am excited to know that traffic is going to be pretty bad so I can get off the roads.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that.
Well, I was telling Tammy that this was going to happen, and she was like, that's old hat.
Yes. You know? Being in the D.C. area, you see the motorcade, and you're just like, well, you know, you try to be cool because you're city folk and when we're dead inside. But
right.
a little bit is just like, ooh, look at the flashing lights. But also just it's so it's a lot. It's a lot to see. And traffic is terrible in D.C. So get a little taste of that.
Tell that ghost to get out of here.
I know, I'm sorry. It's a Halloween. get a little taste of D.C. and what it's like to have the president come into town.
Yeah.
And I'm really hoping that I really hope that he does go to the rural areas as well to show support, and because it'd be quite a slap in the face, I think, if he didn't.
Yeah.
I think he definitely needs to show people that he is, you know, it's not just like
he's got to be everybody's president.
Yes, there it is. You said it.
Let's get to the local here.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to go through these quick because you got some great Striketober things to cover. But two things out of Willamette Week in the past couple days, one of which is they interviewed folks who are researching Measure 110. So that's what got passed in 2020, the drug decriminalization measure, which is, of course, a big topic of this election. Mm-hmm. A lot of Republicans are saying, repeal it. We hate that thing. It's made everything worse. There's a research firm, nonpartisan research firm out of North Carolina, It's got 4 years that they're going to be looking at this, and they have their first preliminary data looking at the rate of police calls. So when people are asking the police for help with whatever they are trying to get, and they see that in Portland, there's not any change between when Measure 110, the drug decriminalization, came into effect, and before that, there's no difference in the amount of police calls. So the kind of like hysteria, I guess, that maybe people think about the houselessness crisis, the substance abuse disorder crisis, they don't have the numbers for it. And they interviewed a bunch of law enforcement across the state, too, who are saying, you know, like, oh, property crime is up, vandalism, everybody's freaking out. We never should have, you know, drug decriminalization is so terrible. But the numbers don't support that, which I think is very interesting. And another thing that they pointed out was like, you know, it's since February 2021, possession of small amounts of drugs is not something they can lock you up for. But the second part of the measure that redirects marijuana tax money towards substance abuse treatment and harm reduction services, that hasn't really, it was a whole debacle of a process that created that. But the money has only just started flowing, basically. So that it was going to be this redirect, it's kind of been like the stop, and then there wasn't like the redirect. So it'll also take some time to see what that impact is in terms of change. The other Willamette Week article I wanted to cover very quickly is that Sophie Peel has the scoop.
Sophie!
That the... We, in our heads, are friends with Sophie Peel.
Big friends.
She does great work. That Ted Wheeler will announce a plan to ban unsanctioned camping across Portland and build 500-person capacity homeless, quote-unquote, campuses. So this is something that we heard... I mean, calling it campuses, like, this is just what Sam Adams, the memo that got leaked months ago about banning people off the street and forcing them into, you know, like, camps that are staffed by National Guard or whatever. They're seeking an outside contractor to run it. So, like, this is actually happening. It wasn't, like, Sam Adams' crackpot ideas. It's something that's happening and that we're expecting an announcement about next week.
You know, that's really kind of... Wasn't there, remember a couple of weeks ago you had, one of the stories you highlighted was the hotels that were getting repurposed for low-income housing.
Yeah, transitional housing.
And how that put a dent.
It was highly successful. Yeah. They're like, oh, give it more money. That worked so well, just like immediately it worked good.
Right, and
we have counties who haven't even spent all the money that they've been given.
Yeah. That's so, why are we choosing, this is, okay, well, we got to keep an eye out for that because that is not humane in any way that I can see.
Yeah, and just that it's crafted to get around the law.
Yeah,
you know, the
emergency bed law.
Yeah, that you can't force people off of public property if there aren't enough shelter beds, and there aren't enough shelter beds. I think it also has to do with, as we've discussed, the Portlanders with Disabilities lawsuit. And that the Portland city attorneys asked the lawyer from that lawsuit to also name Multnomah County Metro and the state as defendants, because depending on, you know, if the judge rules in their favor, it's a ton of like financial
liability
on the city.
Yeah.
And the city doesn't want to do it alone. So I will link this on our episode page. It's a very interesting read, kbu.fm/thegap. But it is certainly aggressive. It's not the solutions that we know work. So, put it lightly, mildly, and perhaps too kindly.
Yeah, we've seen what happens when people get put into ghettos and.
But it's camps. It's not a camp. Yeah. It's a campus.
Mm, you put that us in it, huh? It's a camp for us, huh?
Oh boy, that's a good joke, but it's. Sad.
Yeah, that's this is something I'm gonna keep an eye out for that. So
yeah.
I hope that someone out there is shook, as they should be. You're on my list now.
Yeah. All right, let's get into Striketober.
Striketober. Do you remember how last year there was happened. In 2021 there was a lot of folks were going on strike there was the workers, quote unquote, the workers shortage. And then afterwards, a couple of months later, we were told that no one wants to work anymore and all of this. So the chickens are coming home to roost. And since last year, a lot of the companies, oh my God, I remember it started with Nabisco. And they, because a lot of these companies, record profit sales.
Yeah.
Absolutely groundbreaking profit sales. Meanwhile, literally the rest of us are scrambling, you know, having to deal with the fallout of COVID and the shutdowns and unemployment running out and bills and debt that has accumulated. So these companies, a lot of the workers at some companies, a lot of them that have been making profit sale, record profit sales, I've decided to unionize. And oh boy, that was not an easy process. But in the process, my goodness, we have new season markets that have, they've really been, we've talked about it before, they've been going, the management there has really been putting them through the ringer. But a lot of the folks, a lot of the shops have now, are now part of, or are requesting or doing voting to be part of the, either the New Season Labor Movement, and which is an independent movement, so an independent union, so it's not part of a larger one. And I'm just looking at the website now. Now they have it up on the website, on the official, yeah, New Season website, talking about we care and we want. We anyways, we have Grant Park. Concordia has filed, but the election date hasn't been set yet. Slabtown requested. We've got a couple of places. Seven Corners have voted in favor of Union in Nation. Good. Yeah, try saying that five times. So that's some great stuff. You got the Burgerville Workers Union. They actually just went on strike on the 4th after seeing a pretty traumatic incident happen right outside their shop and were denied taking the rest of the day off. So it's really, really heartwarming to see all of these folks coming together. We also have the Donut Workers Union, which have recently taken a couple of steps towards negotiations at Voodoo Donuts. So some great moves. And with all great moves, you know what they say, what is it, five step forwards, three step back?
Something like that.
I always like to add a little.
The pendulum swings.
The pendulum swingeth. And this is actually from Washington, in Washington State. And I do, you know, just shout out to Pacific Northwest for really being, like, at the forefront of a lot of the union struggles, you know, and from the lumberjacks to the steelworkers. Like, this is the bread and butter of this here town. But in Washington, there is the Glacier Northwest Company, and they're like a concrete company. And they want to sue union members for, quote unquote, destroying its property while they were on strike. So they had, there were truckers, and they were mid, some of them were, you know, mid route with concrete drums in the back, you know, those big concrete drum trucks. And a strike was called mid negotiation. And so the Teamsters called for a strike. And mind you, this was like in the middle of like negotiations. So management had full, like they knew that if there wasn't an agreement, this would be the end result. So again, like, you know, takes two to tango, I guess you could say. But the company has actually is trying to sue the Teamster in state court, saying that the that the workers, or I guess the union, interfered with a contract and violated state law. The courts in Washington said that the company can't sue the Teamsters, and they said, quote, justices granted Glacier Northwest Inc. petitioned for review in Washington Supreme Court decision said that employees cannot sue union under state law over such conducts as striking because it's protected by the National Labor Relations Act. Yes. So basically it means that the strike indeed is legal and protected by federal labor law. So, you know, go talk to someone who cares about what you have to say. So they did. And they are now going to take it up with the Supreme Court. Now, why is this meaningful, you know, if this does set some sort of precedent, like, for example, if the Supreme Court says, you know what, you're right, and there was tampering, and striking is illegal somehow, then this is really dangerous, because it could mean, what would that mean for every other worker in the world?
Nobody's going to strike if there's a risk that they have to, that they could be sued for millions of dollars in damages. And that takes away a very powerful tool in the labor toolkit, which is, I don't have to work when I don't, if the conditions are bad, right? Like, being able to withhold work is, like, such a fundamental part of what a strike is, about what work stoppages are.
Can you imagine if someone said, no, you can't do, like, this, ooh, I wish someone would.
No,
ooh,
I mean, it's no.
Illegal. Sir, you cannot do that.
Stack in the deck, you know.
That's, there's a, wars were fought for this, you know, like, are we forgetting what, like, do people think that these ideas are new or something?
And it's just, it's the whole dang point, isn't it? The whole point is that it is inconvenient for you as the employer to not have your laborers because you're treating them badly or not respecting the negotiation process. Like, people don't go on strike to be jerks. That's
I'm so glad you said this, because in the petition that they wrote, which was, according to the article in Reuters, the group that is helping Glacier sue, lawyers are not winning this year, are, like, conservative lawyers and private interest and business groups.
So wait, they are or they aren't winning?
Well,
never mind. Keep going.
And then in the greater question of, are they moral beings? No, like, you know, like DeLorenzo and all that, like, they're really just like, man, talk about devil's advocate. Oh, great movie. Shout out Keanu.
Somebody tell them that the devil's got enough advocates.
Yeah, you got the church. You got the government. You've got jerks. But in the Supreme, in the, like, doc, in the file that they gave the Supreme Court, just because what you just said about, like, that malicious intent, this is what they're quoting. I'm going to read from this. The case involved, they're preambling it with another case that was similar to also, like, employees going on a strike and then the the property damage that happened. Like, they are treating this as though the workers went out and I don't know, poured, you know, like, die into the concrete,
sugar
or like
in the concrete.
Right, yes. Or like, we're putting potatoes in the back of
they just left
and then and somehow they're manipulating this into the fact that they advocated for themselves is actually
vandalism. Yeah, can we chill out about vandalism? Can we chill out about property damage when we're talking about, like,
also,
people,
you know,
in their lives? Like, I'm just so sick of it.
These are the same people talking about property damage and talking about all this while totally advocating for bombs to go, like, just completely decimate things that have been part of, like, our collective world history for, like, centuries.
Yeah, maybe we should put it to them. It's like, hey, that's vandalism of world cultural sites, okay?
Yes.
People don't, it's...
Why
it's
shouldn't we bomb cultural centers? You know, like, stuff like that, right? That's the stuff that you hear.
You say that and my blood boils.
But it's so you can go, you know, completely decimate cultural centers in, like, Middle Eastern countries, but God forbid you stop...
You lose one truckload of ready-mix concrete.
But this is, so going back to that, in the actual docket, the way that they frame it, so they're taking it to, they're calling back another case that was similar. So this case involved a highly similar cement worker strike where cement was left to harden and struck to inflict property damage to its employers.
Yeah.
Keep going.
Yeah, go.
The cement had hardened in the trucks, and an attempt to rotate the drums resulted in blowing hydraulic lines. So that's, like, what actually happened with it. And there was another part here. Oh, this is what really you want. I'm sorry. This is trigger warning for anyone who hates bosses. Oh my goodness, where is it? Workers were not recorded. It is apparent how workers do not always possess the specialized skills to recover property in instances of intentional misuse. So, like,
Maybe if you have concrete workers as your main employees, you don't want to anger them such that they walk off the job and you lose part of your concrete or your trucks. Maybe that's something, maybe that's part of the calculus.
And this isn't even like a thing of like the golden rule of don't piss off your server so that they don't spit in your food. Like, it's not even malicious. It's like, if the restaurant is making record profits and they're like, you know what, we're actually going to take back a little bit of what we're giving you, like the $5 an hour plus tips you're making, we're gonna make that $4 because we're making profit sales, so actually you're gonna be benefiting from it.
Yeah.
And then you decide to say, you know what, that doesn't sound right, and then you get fired. You know, like, it's not even,
not to go like full, you know, socialist theory or whatever.
Whoa, there it is.
But like the business owner who owns everything will always have like more power than the worker. You know what I'm saying? So workers walking off the job is something that's intended to have a financial impact, but it's still like the orders of magnitude that we're talking about, how that impacts a business owner, and should you be able to sue somebody for walking off their job for like federally legally protected reasons? It's perverse.
I think that there's like the thing that they're trying to say, which I think a lot of anti-union folks say, is that this is a bullying tactic. It's like blackmail. And it's like, oh, right, because me having to work in unsavory condition is not, like, starve, like, work or starve, work or die is not. What are you talking about? Get out of here.
Bullying.
People got a lot of time to pontificate.
I'm all for the anti-bullying thing. You know, people got that really drilled into them. Americans did in like, middle school. It's like, hey, stop bullying, okay? You got to be a good bystander or whatever. Bullying is from the powerful to the less powerful,
sure,
okay? Yeah. What did I just say about the worker? I don't know. Just calling it bullying makes it so it's like emotional. It's like, it hurt my feelings so much when the workers that I wasn't listening to walked off the job.
No one cares. Boo. No one cares what you care. No, what you're saying. Like, no one cares how you feel.
Just be.
You want to be
a decent person, and you don't. And this wouldn't happen to you.
Like, you want to be a professional. And at the same, you know, professional when you want to be, but then also use. Like, to me, what I think is blackmail isn't striking, isn't federally protected rights. It's things like, we're a family.
Ooh.
That's blackmail. That's emotional manipulation, which unions don't do.
Yeah.
Like, solidarity isn't an emotional...
We wouldn't file charges with the state labor board because we're a family, and it was a little mistake, and we're really sorry.
Do you think that your colleagues know anything about unionizing? Like, you can't trust them?
You can't be trusted. And here's the
right?
thing.
Like,
it's because
disgusting.
It's because to them, workers are indistinguishable from the concrete. They're just another thing that they put in to make the profit come out, you know?
You said it.
We're talking about human lives, and that some of your supplies, meaning your workers, are empowered to like protect their own interests, to have an 8-hour work day, to get breaks.
It's
the
like,
same thing that the concrete needs to churn as long as it churns, okay?
You're churning yourself, I think.
I know, I'm getting upset, and I'm also getting lost in the metaphor, so I'm gonna step back.
I'm giving you my getting lost in the metaphor vibe.
Yeah.
So another thing to keep an eye out for, and God, for just the love of all that we have left, barely.
Oh. One thing I will say, to not kind of get people hyped up about this, like, obviously it's an important thing to keep an eye on. The Supreme Court is an undemocratic institution that has an enormous amount of power. They also got significant backlash for rolling back big rights this year, so there's a decent chance that they're not going to want to do that again. And there's also always the option for the Supreme Court to rule on something narrowly.
Mm.
So they get to decide whether or not what they say is precedent setting. So they can say, you know, they could throw them out. They could say, yeah, you're right. You should be able to sue people over any, you know, financial things incurred during a strike. They also might say, hey, in this particular instance, we find that this union these unionized workers like were negligent or something, and they should have to pay a certain sliver of damages. But that doesn't go for all striking workers. Like they can rule narrowly to the facts of the case. That's just what I wanted to mention, because I don't want anybody jumping to conclusions, and because like the color of the story really does matter.
I'll tell you what, Althea, my personal opinion.
Yeah.
That stoppage could have cost the concrete company like $5.8 bazillion.
Yeah.
And I'll still say good for you for striking.
Mm.
I do not care. There's a reason why people who are dependent on this income I'm not talking about to vacation.
Yeah.
To eat.
Yeah.
To eat.
To eat.
People don't just walk off for families, for children, for a community. You don't know what people need money for, you know?
Right.
We know what we need to survive. Look at, you know, we know exactly, take it back. We know exactly what people need money for.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And people don't just let that go for no reason. So, I'm sorry, maybe it's a bit radical for me to say this, but when it comes to bosses, like, every time, screw them.
Mm.
Sorry, I said it.
Should we take a little midway song break and come back for our community question?
I would love to.
Okay. This is The Gap on KBOO Portland. I'm Althea. Tammy's here with me. We'll be back momentarily.
Nobody likes you, nobody cares. Nobody wants you, nobody cares. To extend a greeting, connecting lands. Life is just a jaded game to them. They will give it a chance. But you know and I know that the galaxies are
Freedom is Free by Chicano Batman here on KBOO Portland. This is The Gap.
Hi, we're back for the second part. This is our community question, call, and segment. And boy, do we have a fun one for you today. We are talking about the third place. What is the third place? What is the importance to you? 503-231-8187. If you've never heard of it before, great. I'd love to tell you all about it. It's something that Tammy and I have been discussing and thinking about, and you know, there's a lot of great info there about it. It's a sociological term that is describing social surroundings or a place that you can go that's separate from the two usual social environments. So the first place is your home. The second place is your work or school. And it's described in this book by Ray Oldenburg called The Great Good Place. And it discusses the importance of a third place. So that could be like a church, cafes, clubs, public libraries, bookstores, parks. That third places are super important for civil society, democracy, civic engagement, and establishing feelings of a sense of place. And I want to know, what's your third place? Talk to us about what the importance of it is. There's a really great Atlantic article that we looked at, and I have a quote from it. I'll read it to you. I'd found a classic third place in the suburbs where I least expected it. The term, which was coined by sociologist Ray Oldenburg in the 1980s, essentially refers to a physical location other than work or home where there's little to no financial barrier to entry and where conversation is the primary activity. Another thing that they discuss as part of the ethos of a third place is that there's no need for productivity there.
Mm.
There's no expectation of productivity.
Mm.
And thinking about, you know, where are we gathering? Where is there opportunity to, you know, have sort of a serendipitous meeting with strangers and talk to people that you might not know? And you know, thinking about it in the sense of, I mean, all that we lost in the pandemic, a lot, some of this, what people are talking about in terms of the third place is like also loss of so many small businesses dating back to the 2008 recession that so much of, I mean, obviously we've talked about Robert Putnam before on this show, like that sort of erosion of American social life.
Rotary Club.
Yeah. Of all of that kind of stuff over time as well. But even the pandemic collapsed the second place, your work and your home, into one thing. So let us know. What is your third place? What does it mean to you? Give us a call. 503-231-8187. They're considered to be super important for community building, for meeting people. I know that in the third places that I've found in Portland, that it, you know, makes you feel connected and find out, you know, what's going on.
I love that. That's a beautiful, beautiful question. And we have our first caller on the line. Arthur, can you hear us?
Yeah, I can.
You are on the air.
Hi.
Hey, thank you, Tammy, and thank you, Elithia.
Althea,
good morning. Thank you. Hi.
Yeah. Good morning to both of you.
Thank you.
Yeah. And just on topic of conversation, you know, I like to play a random guitar around the city. I used to live in a tent in the city, but that's a different discussion. Anyway, I went to the bar yesterday, right? And you know, the bars and churches, those two have things in common, you know. That's like where people just hang out. Some of them are built better than others, but I got kicked out of a bar yesterday, and that's the reason I called in this morning. I'll take my comments off the air. Thank you.
Okay,
thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you for calling in. Yeah, definitely are important hangouts, you know. Hanging out doesn't stop when you're a teen, okay? It is still a really necessary part of, you know, human interaction, social life, being connected to where we live is being social in our community. So thank you for the call.
I love that. I every time I use bars as a place, definitely a couple of prayers being said on my end.
I love going to a bar, meeting random people, and becoming part of their mission for the night.
Oh, right, yeah.
Of what they're trying to do.
Well, that's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I love to, you know, get embroiled in somebody else's drama.
A little drama never hurt anyone. We have Tuasi on the line. Can you hear us?
I am here. I hear you just fine.
Awesome. You're on there. What's your third place?
Well, you know, the third place I just find myself talking to people and hanging out more than anywhere else is Chapman Square. You know, it's just the place where I run into people who I know that I share interests with, as far as thinking Tevis is a horrible person and, you know, that all police should quit their jobs. So when we're talking about those sorts of things, where can we actually talk about that? If you say that inside of Starbucks, they'll kick you out. That goes against their code of conduct. You can't say that in the library. Mm. Why would you say that, you know, inside of the grocery store? So if you go to Chapman Square, then people who say those sorts of things, you might be able to meet up with them and share common interests. So just yesterday, I met one of my friends at Chapman Square, and we talked about how Biden was coming. And it just reminded me how the Hawthorne Bridge in the olden days used to be a third place for Portland activists. Mm. And, you know, 20 years ago, when Bush Jr. Came to town, then the Hawthorne Bridge was ours. I mean, anyone who is here remembers, but for those who are new to the area, you can look up George Jr. coming to town. The Portland police hated it, but, you know, most of the city was basically a third place for activists then, and we went wherever we felt like it.
Mm. Love that.
Yeah, thank you.
Anyway, one more thing about third places.
Please.
Just real quick, because of the campus that is being introduced, you know, my relatives probably would have recognized this as a gulag or a concentration camp. Mm-hmm. But it used to be public. All of public was a third place for people. Mm-hmm. But now we have to push for these things that this is like one of my personal things about third places that I directly advocate for. It's called the Homeless Bill of Rights. And it says every person should have a right to sit, stand, lay, eat, sleep, or pray in public places. If you're in public, you shouldn't have to worry about the most basic things making you into a criminal. Mm-hmm. Under Tevis, then we see, you know, you lose the right to sit, stand, lay, eat, sleep, or pray if you're, you know, income is so low you can't live inside.
Yeah. But
anyway, thanks for holding the space for us, and have a great day out there, you guys.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I'm sure I've never heard of that before. I'm sure that there's work around this. I'm going to read up on that, the Homeless Bill of Rights.
I'm doing some Googling right now.
She's getting to Googles. And we do have another caller on the line. Can you hear us, Norman?
Yes, I can.
How are you? What's your third place?
First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
My third place is the place where I go to climb indoors. It's amazing to me how diverse the climbing community has become since I started. I mean, when I started, it was white guys and every once in a while a white woman. And now there's everybody. Straight, gay, trans, black, white, yellow. It's just really incredible. And, you know, the coffee's good. And
where is it that you go to climb?
It's on Northeast 17th. It's right off Sandy Boulevard.
There it is. Shameless plug.
Shameless plug. Well, thank you, Norman. And I'm glad that your climbing community has blossomed.
Okay, keep up the good work, y'all.
All right, thank you. You have a good one. We're talking about the third place. Not your home, not your work or school, but where else we can exist, and with little to no financial barrier, and where conversation is the primary activity. If you want to tell us about your third place, 503-231-8187 is the number. One of the things I wanted to highlight about this was this blog post from Blackbird Spy Plane talking about something called an ungrammable hang zone, or UGHZ. It's a funny read. They got some funky graphics in here to be sure. But they were talking about how the third place, or things that might have been the third place, have been sort of sanitized or cleaned over, or in a way, because of Instagram.
Disgusting. I hate it.
That spaces are designed not to be cool to be there, not to have a good vibe while you're in the establishment, but to look good through a phone screen. And the same thing is true of, you know, like cookie cutter kind of websites and stuff. And you know, like, there you can be somewhere that is really like fun and welcoming and has, you know, good energy, and you're having a good time there and you meet cool people there, but you can't post it to the feed because it doesn't look good, you know. And that this is kind of where like the whole 2008 recession thing comes in. And a little bit is about, you know, 90s nostalgia and stuff like that. But that there are aspects of interior design that are, you know, reflective of an individual style rather than the prevailing sort of clean lines and, you know, this sort of like very sanitized thing that is, you know, meant to be so easily recognizable.
Mm-hmm.
As to mean nothing, you know?
So much eggshell and eggshell and eggshell and eggshell.
Yeah, fully.
And we have Meredith on the line. Can you hear us?
I can hear you. You can hear me?
We can hear you. You're on there. What's your third place?
Cool. I was putting a lot of thought into it because it's a really cool idea, but I've been moving around a lot. And in each place, I just try to find a new hobby or hobbies that fill. So I couldn't really think of a place that I was consistently finding my third place until just realizing that it's outside, it's in nature.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll find hikes to go on, and I'll find people to talk in whatever park. And that's just, like, the consistency of Mother Nature to create the space. I'm kind of similar to the guy that was saying that the homeless Bill of Rights, but a little bit more, I don't know. That's my third place, is going on hikes and learning from the locals, like how to plant clam, or, you know, dig clams, go crabbing, or go rock climbing with people that are there at the local place, go foraging mushrooms, you know.
Yeah.
The people in the new place that can teach me that, and it's just this huge breath. Going paddle boarding at the water park really opens up the world.
Totally. Yeah, the third place can totally be outside.
Oh yeah, you got now. I wish it was back in summertime.
I know.
Yeah, it got me in the mood.
Don't curse the 80-degree days just yet.
maybe start doing like the snowboarding, I guess.
Right. Colder weather makes us find the
cold
indoor
hikes.
Third places. Yeah.
Indoor. Yeah, I love that.
Well,
thank you so much, Meredith. Appreciate it.
Thanks. Have a great day.
You too. If other folks want to call in about your third place, give us a call, 503-231-8187.
As we await for the masses to call, I want to share my third place.
Okay.
I feel like my third place is the book pub.
I was going to say, that's the one that you and I frequent.
Yes, I love it so much.
Yeah.
And it's reasonably priced for sure.
Super, yeah.
And you
super
can get
reasonable.
One thing and be there for hours, it is totally, mm-hmm. totally fine. And there are books, and you can talk, and there's an outside, and
there's
inside.
Games.
There's games.
There's food if you want food.
Yes.
Okay. If you go on the second and fourth Sundays, there's a community craft day.
For free.
We did stained glass there, people. Tammy had to help me because my arm got tired.
Because it's a very dangerous hobby.
It's wild.
I probably
never would have done it in my whole life.
I love that also it brings people who, well, I don't know if this is part of like the third place, but some places it brings people together for a reason, you know, because I was thinking like Kivu's kind of a third place.
Yeah.
And it's a third place for people who are into this type of stuff.
Right.
Like,
but it is for like a specific productivity.
Yeah. Oh,
aspect.
But there is a productivity. Yeah. So I guess that's null and void. Although I think, you know, before, as Kivu was starting off, I'm sure that it was a third place for a lot of people who weren't making radio shows and weren't, you know, recording stuff. And it was probably, you know, like a community. I mean, I don't know, before, you know, the shutdown, it felt like that still, where some folks would just come in just to kind of chill and, you know, kind of avoid the elements for a little bit, chit chat, and keep it on their ways.
Yeah.
Yeah. Love the third. I love this notion.
Yeah. I really, we're big fans of the book pub over here.
And nature also being, the front part, where I live, where I put the rug down and everything.
The front yard.
Is that what, the front yard? It's on
the front yard. You got a porch. You got a nice porch.
I think these are strong words for this, but there's a structure for sure outside.
You can stand on it.
I can sit on it. Yeah. And I love it. And I've never had something like, I've never lived in a house like I've only lived in apartments even mm-hmm. as a child. And it's like, oh my goodness, I can take up space outside and I can, like, you know, being my PJs, like, it's not, I don't have to, like, necessarily share it with anyone, but I always thought, I'm like, well, if I literally just open this door, anyone could just come in and, like, we can have, like, a chat, you know, because it's kind of on the main street.
Yeah, totally. If other folks want to call and talk to us about your third place, 503-231-8187. And, you know, just thinking about kind of like back when we were sort of starting to first emerge from, like, you don't have to be locked down in your house for the pandemic anymore. Like, what it was like and what that feeling was to get to be around people and to get to exist outside of your house, outside of work, without having like a reason for being there. It's like, yeah, I was just like in the neighborhood and I thought maybe I would like a coffee. And now I'm sitting here and I, you know, I'm chit-chatting with people, you know, like to be able to, I think it kind of like, at least for me, made me realize how important it is to be around people, even if you're not like actively engaging with them, like reading a book in a public place is still like kind of like scratches that itch of like needing to be with people in some ways. Anyway, at least when we were so pared down, I was like, that's all I can handle.
Also, I think like a lot of the gatherings, rallies, protests, like a lot of those, I think could possibly be considered third places. And we do have Francis on the line. Francis, can you hear us?
Hi, can you hear me?
We can hear you. You're on the air.
Hi, my third place is playing dominoes with my friends. And it could be at their house on the patio when the weather's nice or wherever. But while we're playing the dominoes and drinking coffee, we solve all the world's problems.
I love
and
that.
It's just lovely. And the prime, we usually come up with a conclusion if we all just figured out how to be nice to each other, it'd be all right. Yeah, simple thing, but so hard for people to do.
Yeah, well, it's such an important part of being connected to the people in your area, you know?
Yeah, anyway, that's my favorite third place.
Thank you, Francis.
Thank you so
much. We appreciate you calling.
You guys take care.
You too.
Bye. Coffee and dominoes.
Dominoes. Well,
that's a good concept right there.
That is
there.
A good combo. I'm into that.
Yeah. And we have some more callers.
Right.
Hold on one second.
Okay. All right. I'll be cool about it. About us. Let me just interject one thing from this this blog post that I like. Digging beneath that, our affection is also about the modest, chill, non-corporate ethos that these places, third places, embody. Quote, come pay a few bucks for a big cookie and a big coffee served in a weird Garfield mug and sit a while with friends or a great book. Maybe mess around and do a puzzle to take a gander at the bulletin board flyers and tear off a number so you can link and build with a local ceramicist.
Oh my God, this is like my, you're speaking my language right now. I love this. This is all the quaintness that I love.
Yeah.
We have another caller, Steve. Steven, you're on the air.
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
I was thinking about this book called The Undercommon. You might know it. It's by Fred Moten and Stefano Harney. They're both like academic type people, but they really talk about like this, what you're talking about. I never heard your show before. I'm a school teacher and I'm home today, so it's really good. Like what you're talking about. So interesting. So I pulled over and I just wanted to mention that book. It's The Undercommon. It's like Fugitive something. I don't know. It's really a powerful book, and it's kind of like what you're talking about. It's like this third place. It's kind of like they talk about it in terms of like an undercommon that already exists that you have to tap into, and it's like can take place anywhere kind of. And like I think about that as a high school teacher. Like I think about like how do I create that in my classroom, that place, or just it could be anywhere really, you know. And so I don't think that's like what their book, if they were here, they'd be like, that's not what our book's about, but that's what I got from it. So
yeah, it's connecting it. It's, I looked it up. It's The Undercommons, Fugitive Planning and Black Study by Stefano Harney and Fred Moten. And it apparently is available for free download. So that is enticing indeed.
Yeah, exactly. So it's a very powerful book.
Awesome.
Very
I
cool.
I like that.
Yeah. Thank you for sharing. That's like the perfect addition to the conversation.
Thank
and we
you so
hope
much.
You'll listen again.
Right, of course. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Yeah, have a good one.
Fred Moten, is not the Afro-pessimism guy? We'll talk about this later. You got to choose poli-sci people in here. And it's a lot of getting in the weeds. I love the idea that the third place is somewhere that it always exists and you just got to tap into it.
Yeah.
Very... I love it. Very sci-fi-ish, you know? But I think that it is true, especially one of the callers mentioned that they moved around a lot. And I feel that because I also moved around a lot. And I see that there are in different places, like, the type of, like, people, I think there's maybe this notion of being chronically unique or something.
Oh.
But there are people like you, and there are people who share your interests literally everywhere in the world.
Yeah.
And that can even deepen it because of, like, that contextualizing it to a different place, and that you can deepen it for them because you're coming from it.